Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Soap from the Box. I'm Lee Salisbury, and this is your chance to get to know some of the UK's biggest soap stars a little bit better. Because I used to direct them in soap, I know them well, and so hopefully they give me all the on and off screen stories. This is the second edition this week after a very special episode with Sophie Ellis-Bextor. If you haven't heard it, please listen now. Otherwise, enjoy this next instalment. Get a cuppa or a glass of wine and sit back and relax. My guest today on Soap from the Box is Catherine Tyldesley, who played Eva Price for 7 years in Coronation Street. Hello.
Hi, babe.
I'm very excited about this. So I always start with a little memory, and I remember we filmed, and I think I'm right in saying, when you were pregnant in real life, Eva wasn't pregnant, was she?
That's right.
So yes. I remember we were in a shop for some reason. I just remember you were quite big by the end.
Yeah.
And do you remember having to hide it?
I do.
What are the tricks we use in telly? What were you doing most of the time as Eva then?
They gave Eva really big handbags. And she was always stood behind something. So she was always behind the bar in the Rovers or carrying a box, even when she didn't need to be carrying a box. We had to do all sorts because by about 5 months, I was huge.
And what's it like being a pregnant woman working those hours and stuff? Is it hard? Because I'm sure every mum that's had a child would say the last few months, but you worked till kind of near the end, didn't you?
I did. I was very naive because Alfie's my first baby. And I remember going to Stuart Blackburn, the producer at the time, and saying, look, I'm not poorly. You know, carry on working me hard. I'll work right till the end. And then by 7 months, I was absolutely exhausted. I won't lie. I was very heavy. And it was just really tiring. But I have to say, Coronation Street are just brilliant at looking after you.
So we will talk firstly today about Corrie and Eva and then about you. Now, it wasn't the first time you were in Corrie, was it, playing Eva?
It wasn't, no, no.
You were, tell everyone what you were.
I was midwife two.
In 2006, I've got.
Yeah, the Sunita's twins.
Oh, is it Sunita's twins?
I had a few scenes with Sunita, Shona, and Jimmy, Dev. And I was just, my parents were so thrilled that I had this little role on Coronation Street. It was like the biggest thing ever. So you can imagine what they were like when I got the Eva.
Yeah.
But seems forever ago.
Comparing that to when you went back as a main role, like, is it more nerve-wracking if you're when you're starting out and you go into a big show like that? Because I know directing people, actually, they get so nervous. And it's actually really hard to deliver one line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you've only got one line, it's kind of like you can tell people have really worked on it.
Yeah.
And it can sound horrendous.
Because you really want to make your mark. But, you know, if you're saying something like, the doctor's coming, I mean, what can you do with it?
I know.
It's informative. What can you do? But do you know what? I was actually more nervous when I started as Eva because there was such a hype about this new family coming in and they'd spent a fortune on these ads where it was, you know, me, Michelle Collins, John Mickey, getting out of a taxi, landing on the cobbles. And I was like, Kath, you cannot mess this up. They've spent so much money. But it really helped that I knew quite a few people there already. And so that kind of eased me into the job.
And there was tough competition, wasn't there, for the role as well? It wasn't like an easy gig to get.
I'm into the positive mindset. I'm into vision boards and things like that. So in the lead up to the audition, I kept putting it out there to the universe. But when I turned up at the audition, there must have been maybe five or six other girls that looked nothing like me.
Oh, really? Because
they were all
tiny,
really young. And even Anthony Cotton said, he went, oh, this might be against you, you know. But then I ended up getting the part because I looked different.
So different. How bizarre then, really, that they...
Yeah, and I also had spent forever YouTubing Michelle Collins to try and get the same intonation patterns, the same mannerisms. And even Michelle picked up on it afterwards. She was like, oh my gosh,
well, that's good.
Yeah, so it paid off.
And so have you ever had in your career those people that are always at the auditions when you go for parts? Like, you're always alongside certain people.
Do you know what? Joe Froggatt.
Oh, really?
In the early days, we were both up for Downton. And she's the loveliest girl. Lovely and a phenomenal actress. But I always used to walk in and think, Joe Froggatt's here. She's got it. She's got it.
And then you mentioned, obviously, it was an amazing family that you went into. Michelle Collins, obviously a legend for EastEnders. And then Sue Johnson obviously came into play. I mean, literally, I couldn't believe I was working with Sue Johnson.
Same.
It's incredible, isn't it, when someone like that comes in. Does that add to the pressure? Does that make it more exciting when you're working alongside...
It's more exciting because it keeps you on your toes. I grew up watching Sue Johnson and, you know, the likes of Brenda Blethyn. Those two actresses were real role models to me, and people like Julie Walters, etc. But I remember studying Sue Johnson. I remember when she did the first run of Jim Cartwright's 2, and I remember studying it and thinking, oh my God, she's just amazing and a wonderful person. And when they told me that she was coming in to play my gran, I was like, oh my God, this is just amazing. So it's brilliant. And the casting department just work their magic all the time.
I mean, there is something about Corrie, isn't there? You know, Ian McClellan did it. I mean, it's literally like Corrie's just, you know, you could get it. They could get anyone in a way.
Anyone. It's, people are such fans. Apparently, Anthony Hopkins doesn't miss an episode.
Really?
He is obsessed
with Corrie. And I'm sure the
Corrie.
Queen watches it.
Babes.
She must what do,
else,
mustn't
what else
she?
Is
she
doing?
Would love Eva. So, I mean, and there was a big drama, really. I remember this, and it was horrible. And it kind of shows the hardship of being an actor in a soap when Michelle went through what she did with the accent. I mean, it's tough, isn't it, if you're in a big show? Because suddenly, if something like that happens, it's just the pressure must be immense. So, I mean, it must be horrible to work around that.
It's so hard. Firstly, as a northerner, Manchester born and bred, there was nothing wrong with Michelle's accent. There genuinely wasn't, but they were always going to find fault.
Yeah, of course.
She'd worked really hard on it. She'd worked with a dialect coach. And there was the odd word that didn't quite sound right, I would tell her. I'd say, babe, just, you know, flip it a little bit. And she was brilliant. And she didn't deserve any of that flack, but they needed something to pick at.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they do.
I think it's really hard going from one side. I mean, you actually did it as well, because apart from Corrie, you were in Emmerdale.
I did, yeah.
When I was working on Emmerdale as well, weren't you in prison?
I was. I was a naughty prison guard alongside James Sutton.
Yeah, well, he was a prisoner, wasn't he?
He was a prisoner, and we got a bit jiggy with it in prison.
Reality of... how was Emmerdale compared to Corrie? I mean, working on them, they're quite similar, aren't they? They're both kind of nice, happy families, and
they are. Yeah, I think that's the key thing that I took away from both, is that there was genuinely no sense of hierarchy. It was just... both really welcoming. And I know everyone wants the gossip.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Who'd you hate and who was
awful? Because it does sound rubbish,
and...
doesn't it? But it actually is true.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm going to do a little fun quiz to see how well you remember Eva. I've been nice because I like you. So, so can you remember which character's lock-in did Stella and Eva have to clear up when they joined?
Oh.
In the pub.
Becky.
Yes.
Yes.
Becky McDonald, who obviously played by the amazing Catherine Kelly.
And Kate Kelly would have absolutely murdered me if I'd have got that wrong.
Yeah,
so,
can you imagine?
Yeah.
And again, so when you went in, I mean, obviously she's done amazingly well. You've got Sarah Lancashire, Saran Jones, who've left Corrie. Is it inspirational to see these women leave and do so well? I mean, not many other soaps, I don't think, have had that level of success from the females.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all three of those actresses that you've just named are huge idols of mine. You know, if you know that Saran Jones or Kate Kelly or Sarah Lancashire is going to be in a programme, you'll watch it.
Yeah.
Because you're guaranteed that it's going to be good quality and brilliantly acted. So, and Kate's a very dear friend of mine. She's always been a great advisor. And she's a bit of a big sister. I did my first ever television job with Kate.
Oh, did you? What was that?
It was No Angels.
Oh, okay. Oh, I remember that.
And she took me under her wing from day one. And then we lived together. I moved in with her when she was doing Corrie. And then I ended up being in Corrie. So She was always just so wonderful to me, and to see everything that she's done now is just hugely inspiring.
So what advice did people like that give you going into a show like Corrie? Did you have those kind of people that gave you any advice?
Kate Kelly gave me the best advice. She said, treat every scene as though it's an audition. Because soap is so fast and it's very easy to become so familiar with people and take things for granted, and you do get very comfortable there. I spent more time there than I did at home.
Yeah.
You constantly have to be on the ball.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you will get lost in this vast sea of actors. You have to stand out and put your all into every single scene that you do.
I think that's so true. And I think people listening to this, that's what they probably don't realise about the characters they grow to love. It's because of the work the actors are put into it,
I think.
Absolutely, because so many big stars and big actors who've done the National Theatre, whatever, come in and they just get lost.
They do. And it's the saying of, if you can do soap, you can do anything, is so true. When you come out of a soap, there can be snobbery. I didn't endure that at all. Everyone was lovely and great. And a lot of casting directors remembered me. However, if you've only done soap and people only know you for that character, it's really difficult. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be at all, but
I think a lot of people who do soap for, say, many years, there is a thing that, in a way, unless you play something like, a bitch or whatever, people do kind of start to blend into the character.
Yeah.
You do make a conscious effort to keep Eva, always totally away from you.
You have to fight against it. And you are that, well, I was that character for such a long time. You know, the day I left, I said, I need Kath back. I dyed my hair back to its natural colour, and so much about me is completely different from Eva. You have to make that bold choice, because there are actors that are very similar to themselves in soap, and that's fine, especially if they want to stay there. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And it's a comfortable place to be in, but that's not what I enjoy as an actor. I like to push boundaries.
You like coming home and being Kath and going to work and being Eva.
Yeah.
So who did Eva first start dating?
Oh my God.
I mean, she went through quite a few, to be fair.
She did! I think it was Nick.
Yes!
Was it?
Yeah, Price,
who
played Nick Dilsley.
He's so
the second incarnate. Was second incarnation of Nick Dilsley, I think.
I think he was like the ninth.
Was he the ninth? Yeah. And you said that Eva, talking about love life, Eva's love life was obviously, but I've read that you said it was quite detrimental to your love life playing Eva.
Oh! Because people, they think you are the character, and they thought I was some kind of bunny boiling sex pest. I'd be out, you know, with the girls in town, and I would have guys coming up to me that thought I was Eva, and they'd be like, you know, why have you not got your boobs out? And I'd be like, that's not, why are you not dressed in PVC?
It's so mad, isn't it, still people have that?
Completely.
And it's only with soap, I think, and I always try to put my finger on why, and I think it's because it's just in people's houses every day, so they it becomes the norm. Because really, in other dramas, you wouldn't.
No.
Do that, would you?
No.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think you'd go up to Brenda Blethyn as Vera and go, where's your Mac? And
no, babe.
There's a murder down the road.
I love that.
So after Aidan's affair, Eva bought what on his credit card to anger him?
She bought a pink Range Rover.
Which is fabulous.
I mean,
if you're going to piss someone off, buy a pink Range Rover.
Absolutely. When my husband watched that, he was like, remind me never to get on the wrong side of you, just in case I'd taken heed of what Eva did. But, how much fun can you have?
And that's what I mean. It must be things like that. It must be great to go to work and just do those things that you would never even imagine in real life.
Yeah, it's great.
So what's the most extravagant thing you bought as a person, do you think? And not necessarily money. What is there something that you've, like, when you've got a good job or when you've thought, you know, sod it, I'm going to get this.
There's been the odd, obviously, like, your home is a huge thing.
Yeah.
But I very recently have purchased a piece of art by the artist Maria Reavens. And I saw some of her work in town. Where was I? I think it was the Radisson Hotel. And she basically texts Hollywood icons and creates collages.
Oh, wow.
And I got in touch with her. And I'd saved up because I really wanted, it was one of those things that had been on my mind for years, and I thought, it's not going away. And I've commissioned her to do Barbara Streisand.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I'm beside
oh, so
myself.
You've actually commissioned
I've
her
commissioned
to
do it. It's going on that wall
oh,
there.
Oh, wow.
And I am so excited. She was so lovely. And I was just totally fangirling because her work is just so
I
special.
I saw her a thing. Did you put it on Facebook the other day with Barbara Streisand with the mask on? No! If she can wear it.
Brilliant.
Anyone can.
I love Babs.
And
I
you know, buying art basically means you're getting old.
Oh, completely.
It's one of those things, isn't it? When you were young, you would think, who
darling,
would spend money on a painting?
I've bought art, I'm drinking red wine and eating mushrooms.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
that you're past it.
I'm past it.
Where was the flat that Eva and Jason bought?
Oh, my word.
Now, just to explain to people listening, actually, these questions are really hard, I think, because we always film in the sets, which are in the studio.
Yeah.
Often you don't even relate it to where it is in the street, do you?
I actually can't remember.
It was above a restaurant you probably really loved. Prima Donna Kebab, that's where it was.
Of course. Brilliant.
When I joined Corrie, I think it was, I mean, like any other soaps, you'd walk on and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. What was your favourite set there? Or what was the set that you used to still pinch yourself and think?
The Rovers.
Yeah.
1,000,000%. I used to stand in the Rovers thinking, oh, I wonder if one day Eva will be landlady, like, you know, when she's older. I mean, can you imagine Eva as landlady?
It'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rovers. It's so special.
And I mean, standing behind that bar, because obviously Eva worked behind the bar. I mean, that for me, that is
dreams, honestly, isn't it? Yeah,
because the amount of people who've been behind that bar. Was Betty there when you were there?
I just crossed paths with her.
And so that's great, because I never did.
I'd had the chance to meet her through Anthony Cotton, actually. And she was very lovely. Only the once, but she was very lovely. And the amount of icons.
I know.
I honestly, every time, without fail, even 7 years down the road, I would often stand in the Rovers going, oh my God.
Well, we used, as directors, obviously, camera script on your own. So you used to go in there, and I used to get, like, you sit camera script, but then stop for like half, because you used to just sit there going, this is mad.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose the only awful thing is then those pub scenes actually are the worst days, aren't they?
Yes.
So even though we're going, oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's like you never wanted to do a pub day.
Yeah.
It was so long and took so long.
I remember sitting in the green room and there was a few actors there that had been there a long time. And I went, guys, they give me my job back in the Rovers. And they all went, oh, sorry. And I was like, no, I'm dead happy. And they were like, yeah, you won't be this time next year.
Well, it's kind of that thing for actors, I think, because you obviously get paid well if you're in the pub.
Well, yes.
You're in all the time. But then you can end up saying a pint, you know. Yeah. Would you like a 50 pence change?
Yeah.
What would Eva... Okay, so yeah, just to end the little character ones, what would Eva think of these characters from other soaps, do you think? What would she think of Kat Slater in EastEnders?
Ooh. I think her and Kat would have a really good night out,
I think they
honest.
Would. Yeah, I think Kat would hate her at first.
Yeah.
But then they would
I feel like
bond.
Eva would look up to somebody like Kat. And she wouldn't mess with her. I know Eva's feisty, but I think she'd look at Kat and be like, ooh, she's a bit of a powerhouse.
What about Charity in Emmerdale? Do you think Eva read people? Because Charity's quite clever. Do you think Eva read people well?
No.
No.
I'm not sure they'd get on, you know. I think Eva might be a bit too dizzy for her. I think she'd get quite frustrated with her.
And is there anyone in Corrie character-wise that you would have loved to have worked with more?
That is a really good question. And I'm going to surprise you. It would be either Malcolm or...
Oh, Malcolm. Oh, he plays...
Patty.
Yes.
And also, of course, I absolutely... One of my... Well, my two favourite Corrie characters are Hayley and Roy.
Oh, yeah. And I was lucky enough to do the set... I think the block before Julie died, but she was just immense, wasn't she?
And I only ever grabbed little moments with Julie, but she was just so wonderful.
And did you not do really anything? Oh, I'm surprised you didn't work. Eva wasn't with Malcolm Norris more.
Oh, well,
that's like a dream.
Me and Norris had the odd scene, and
that's a dream pairing.
Isn't it just?
Yeah.
Then
they would have been best friends.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they?
And I love Patty, but whenever Patty plays Mary, and whenever we had scenes together, Eva would always look at Mary to say, you're completely bonkers and I can't be dealing with you. But it was just so much fun to have that dynamic.
They have got some brilliant... So I remember, because I did the last filming on the old street and then the first filming on the new street. And Tony Warren, the creator, amazing, obviously, man who created Corrie, said to me that the only reason they set Coronation Street in Manchester was because it rained all the time. And they needed something to film indoors to the studio sets because they never really fit. They didn't film outside at first because the street was in the studio.
Oh, wow.
That's why Coronation Street was created.
I do miss. I was completely in love with the old studios, I must admit. And the facilities they've got now at Media City are amazing.
But it's not the same.
It's not the same. There was something when so you first special. Walked,
and it wasn't just Coronation Street. I think it was just the whole building. I mean, even though when I joined... it was like there was nothing. You used to walk about 4 miles to the canteen and there was nothing in that big open studio. Yeah. But you just walked in there and you could sense the...
history.
The history. Yeah. Did you ever know who was in your dressing room before you? Do you know what I mean? Was there a history of dressing rooms? Did you ever know?
I don't think I did. There was always the talk of the ghosts.
Yes, there was always the talk of the ghosts.
The cleaners were constantly saying that they'd seen things and things like that. I think they did a Most Haunted there at one point.
Yeah, because I'm sure they said like a cast member still haunts it.
There was definitely energy.
There was definitely energy for sure. I did it. If I was camera scripting, you were alone at night in the old street. Some of those, it was quite freaky actually.
Very much so.
But that old street was just amazing, wasn't it? Even though I remember the cobbles were a nightmare, there must have been for Eva, especially in heels.
Do you know what? It was brilliant because the producer that brought me in was amazing, Phil Collinson. And after I'd been there a few weeks, he spotted me in the canteen. He went, "Kath, the character decision you've made of her not being able to walk on cobbles is genius." And I was like, "Thanks, babes. But yes. I just got to walk on cobbles."
No. I mean, that's quite a man thing to say as well. Yeah. What girl like, can respect?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, Michelle Collins was phenomenal. She could run down cobbles in stilettos.
Could she?
Whereas I was like Bambi on ice. Terrible.
But yeah, the new... So let's explain to them, because we then moved to the new building, which was a much bigger street. It really shocked me, actually, when we first filmed in it. It was suddenly...
Because
we were used to doing scenes, I suppose, of someone crossing the road, and suddenly it was like, my God, that took a whole scene to cross the road. I do think it lost a bit of its magic moving there, don't you, the street? I really do think it lost... You could tell it wasn't as...
And everybody says the same thing, and I know that things have to change, and Corrie will forever be my second home, and I hope to go back at some point. I adore it. But yeah, I think, you know, being in the first lot of studios with so much history behind it and so many icons that have walked through those doors, there was just something really special about it. And I think the new place for me, when I first got there, I was like, oh, it's a bit clinical and very Scandi.
Which everything's got, I suppose. And you can see why they have to move. But did you ever go to the Village in Emmerdale when you were there?
Do you know what? I didn't.
Didn't you?
I was always in the prison.
Of course you are, but you never...
I'm telling a lie. I did. I did once when Abby, the prison guard, goes looking for...
her prisoner.
For her prisoner, James Sutton. So I did once.
Because that's the best. Oh, yeah, that is amazing.
Beautiful.
Because it is actually a village. I remember on Emmerdale, standing, camera scripting on my own, and these people, because basically where Emmerdale is filmed is in the middle of an estate, but there's lots of public bridleways. So there was a couple in the bus stop and they were like, "Oh, excuse me. God, thank God we've seen you. We've been here an hour. Do you know the timetable says a bus is due?" And I was like, "Oh no, you're in the Emmerdale Village."
Oh no.
On a Saturday.
That's brilliant.
Waiting for a bus. So back to Eva, before we move on to you. So she did, as I said, she ploughed through her men. So she had Jason, Ryan Thomas.
Yeah.
Rob, Mark Bayliss.
Yeah.
Shane Ward, Aidan. Who do you think was the love of her life?
It was Aidan. It was Aidan.
And you and Shane had a brilliant dynamic, didn't you?
He was just wonderful. And we were like, we were the two kids in school that would get separated for being, for being too giddy. We were like two little school children. But the way they developed that storyline was just so wonderful and heartbreaking.
It was incredible. So just to recap, obviously in the end, Aidan committed suicide.
Yeah.
And I think Soap's got, why Soap's amazing is it's got such an important role in our society because people watch it every day and these stories that people probably turn off from it elsewhere, you know, but get to see it there. Did it feel special? I mean, not special. How was it to work on a storyline like that? Do you feel that real level of responsibility to get it right?
You do, massively so. And Shane and I had people coming up to us in the street saying, "Do you know what? I was in a really bad place. I was going to do it. And I watched Corrie and I'm not going to do it. I'm getting the help."
This is incredible.
Kate Oates, the producer at the time, is a genius.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
A complete powerhouse and genius. And the way she devised that storyline, I mean, For example, calls to helplines like the Samaritan's Mind Car increased by 2,000% when that storyline went out.
Well, I think by picking Aidan, they were clear because it was the guy you wouldn't expect. You know, he's good looking. Think he's got everything. And that's often as we find out that, you know, the case more and more, it's not
completely
the quiet and person in the...
She was very clever about it. And of course, we were extremely sad to lose Shane and Shane was sad to go. But at the same time, it was a real gift for him as an actor and a gift for us, you know, to have that responsibility and learn that through the power of soul, we helped to save lives, which is insane.
It is insane.
I think it was a remarkable, completely game changer.
And also really clever, not just for Shane's character, but for your character, you know, to give Eva that as well. Do you get pigeonholed a bit as a comedy? Do you know what I mean? Do you find that what...
Kate Oakes was a fantastic listener, and when she first joined Coronation Street, you know, I went in for a little meeting with her, and she said, "What is it you would like as an actress?" And I said, "I want her to go to a dark place. We've seen the funny stuff.
Yeah,
I want her to shave my hair off, put me in a..." And Kate was really taken aback. She was like, "Really?" And I was like, "Yeah." And you know, luckily, a year or so after that, she'd come up with this storyline. And I was just so grateful as an actress to be part of something that was so
important. Well, I think that's all credit to you as well, because I think a lot of people rest on their laurels in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not many people in a soap want to, because they know what's working.
It's a very comfortable place to be, but to me, that becomes stagnant and boring. And you lose... I like to keep myself
and
fresh.
And no one in real life is just that one.
No.
You know, that's what I mean.
In the words of Ronan, life is a roller coaster.
Yes. When you say nothing at all.
When you say nothing at all. So you've got to be pushed. It's a big part of the reason that I left is I need to be pushed as an actor, and I hope it makes me a better performer.
But for everyone who loved Eva, you might return maybe one day.
I would love to. And I've never shied away from that. I'm constantly going, "Hey guys, I'll see you soon."
In the pink Range Rover.
In the pink Range Rover. And of course, Susie would be, what? She'd be two now?
Well,
two
in
and
soap,
a half.
She'd probably be 16when
she'd be
back.
Yeah, she'd be about 25. Eva will be grey.
So let's move on to you. So you were born in 1983 in Walkden, Greater Manchester.
The glamorous Walkden.
And you're still a Manchester girl. So you're a Northern. Are you a Northerner through and through?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've lived all over the place. We emigrated to Tasmania when I was a kid.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah. And I've lived in London for a while. But I always, always come back to Manchester. It's home. You know, that old saying of, if you cut me, I would bleed Manchester. It's true. I just adore this city.
And how does Corrie? Do you think Corrie, because I think it's hard, isn't it? Because EastEnders, is it really a true representation of the East End of London? Probably not. Is Coronation Street, did places like that exist? I mean, obviously there's not streets, probably where there's killers and 10 affairs going on a week. But
yeah, I mean, it's a very unlucky place. Yes. And you know, and people will say to me like, "Oh, but do people like Mary exist?" Yes.
Oh yeah.
A million percent. Yeah. And they're the kind of people that I adore.
Yes.
Because they just make the world go round. And
Manchester has got something about it, about its unique, quirky characters, I think.
Completely.
Like Leeds, I don't think it has that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but no, you're right.
Manchester really does.
It does. I could people watch in Manchester City Centre all day long.
So you then went to Birmingham, you trained at the, obviously there was lots happening before that, you had a whole schooling career.
Yeah.
You trained at the Birmingham School of Acting.
Yeah.
For just thinking of the young people listening, wanting to act, I mean, what does drama school teach you? Do you know what I mean? What does it give you?
It strips everything back and you have to go...
You didn't have to be naked, did you? So many people I've spoken to.
No.
The drama centre, which apparently is known as the trauma centre.
The trauma centre.
It used to make you strip off.
Yes, I know a few people that went there, and I think most people leave with some kind of PTSD. I understand their theories.
Yeah, losing your inhibitions.
I understand. And some people did get naked. I remember we had to write down our biggest challenge and what that would be as an actor. And for a lot of people, that was getting naked. And you have to go in there with no inhibitions.
Yeah.
And initially, I found that very difficult because I was a youngster, there were a lot of people on the course that were older than me. And a few drama schools that I auditioned for kept saying to me, you need more life experience. And I understand that now.
Yeah.
Now that I'm older. But Birmingham School of Acting is a wonderful place to train. The teachers are phenomenal. And I owe them so much. I really do. Their teaching methods are just fantastic. And you think, there were a lot of people that I spoke to that were like, oh, I don't need to go to drama school. And obviously I went, and the things that I learned.
Yeah, I don't think you ever stop learning.
You never
in this job.
Stop
I think
learning.
If you think you've got it all, then.
I still see my acting tutor, Rahelio Navarez, who taught me at Birmingham. If I'm presented with some difficult scenes,
I do sessions
with him, and we talk it through. And because I think it's really quite naive to stop that process as an actor.
And you talked about stripper inhibitions. I mean, this is what I find really interesting, the more I've been interviewing for this, that it is that thing which I think the people listening who aren't actors, you really understand it from this. Actually, it must be hard. Say Eva, we said, always got her boobs out and stuff. Mm. Do you have to go, that's Eva? Do you know what I mean? But that's what's amazing for me as an actor. I think that's the skill you have, because I think so many people would never be able to go.
Yeah.
People would just be like, no, it's me. No, do you know what I mean?
I couldn't. Kath couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But that's the fun part of being an actor, because Eva absolutely could.
Yeah.
You know, they put her in a PVC dominatrix dress at one point that I would never in a million years have worn. But you have to put yourself...
You just get yourself into Eva mode.
That's how you get through it. It's not me. And it's the same with intimate scenes. You know, people say, does Tom find it difficult? No, because it's not me.
Well, and also... You know, behind the scenes of those scenes, I remember doing a bed scene with Michelle Keegan and someone. And I mean, they're the most excruciating
clinical
things in the world, aren't they, as well?
Yeah,
no
they
one
are.
Really knows where to look.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like there's all the lighting guys climbing on the bed as Michelle Keegan's laying in it.
Lucky
it's
devil. Like,
it's not at all saucy, is it?
It's not at all. I mean, it's the least saucy thing you could ever... Do you know what? I've been really lucky that throughout, Corey, they paired me with such wonderful, funny, lovely actors. Like me and Shane, if we had a kissing scene, we'd just laugh our way.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have a bit of a joke about
and
it.
Again, have you ever been with someone that you've been like, oh my God... You don't need to say who.
I haven't, but I have got a funny story to tell you. I went to the dentist once and I didn't realise he was numbing my mouth, and I had to go straight to work and snog Shane Ward. And I couldn't kiss him. It was like, God
your
forgive me, it was like I'd had a full-on stroke. And Shane was crying, laughing at me. He was like, what's wrong with you? And I was literally
got
dribbling.
A nipple round his face.
Oh, dribbling down the side of his face. So, I mean, that was hilarious. He ribbed me for that for a long time.
Now, you've spoken openly about your weight, obviously, when you were younger. Mm. And you were a size 22 when you were a teenager.
Yeah, she was a big lady.
And I think now, I mean, that's obviously how many years ago that is. But, I mean, now I think image and stuff has become so much more, you know, prevalent with the social media and stuff. Is it tough being a girl?
It is. I think, I know it sounds a bit of a cliche, but the older I've got, the more comfortable I feel. I was quite lucky that I joined Corrie when I was 27, I think I was. If you're a very young girl joining a soap, or you're thrust into the realms of huge fame all of a sudden, I can imagine it's very difficult.
Hard, yeah.
I had the right people around me. I had people like Catherine Kelly and Anthony Cotton going, never read the comments on newspapers, etc.
When you were young and you were, you know, you were so, was it a struggle for you? Were you always conscious that you wanted to not be like that?
Do you know what? I was always the joker of the group at school. I was never bullied. I was always happy. It was just, I knew I wanted to be a leading actress. And I went to an audition and they were like, my darling, you'll never be a leading actress. You are the fat, funny friend. And that is a horrendous stereotypical.
It is, but unfortunately
it's true
in our industry.
It's true. And also, I realised that I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without feeling like I was going to have some kind of heart attack. So from a health perspective, I knew I had to do it. And I did. I've always had a great ambition in my heart that I wanted to be a leading actress. And that is what kept my determination going.
And it must have been, was it hard? It was hard work, obviously.
It was hard work. But as an actress, your two tools are your body and your voice.
Yeah.
And if you don't look after it, I feel that I constantly need to be ready to take on any role. This new job that I've got at the moment, there are scenes that are very scantily clad. Therefore, I need to feel comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah.
to give that skin to this character.
Yeah.
So it's my responsibility to look after myself. And, you know, I won't do anything stupid. I'm not one of those people that would ever starve myself or...
Because you were thinking about having a gastric band, weren't you, back then?
No, well, no, I wouldn't. Do you know what? If somebody had offered it me when I was 18, I was very uneducated about nutrition. Yes. Which is the sad thing because I'm very against gastric bands. I think that... Often it's due to a lack of education.
Yeah.
And it can be a bit of an easy fix. I know that there are people out there who've tried everything and it's worked for them and that's brilliant. But I am a very strong advocate of the correct nutrition being taught in schools. It's something that I'm constantly fighting for because it's still not there.
No. Well, I even think on set.
Yes.
Food is terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so just to explain to people listening, if you're on location and stuff, we have caterers and it's always... You know,
it's
fish,
sausage
chips.
Rolls.
Yeah, it is. And you're starving on set. Mm. You know, you are, so you eat what's there.
Babes,
well, I used
honestly,
to put on so much weight on a blog.
Yeah. Tupperware is my best friend.
Yes.
I have to take food on set with me, you know, just in case there's nothing. Because otherwise, you've got no choice and you end up eating rubbish and then you get ill and you feel rubbish and you look rubbish. And
well, especially on occasion, if you eat that food, but all afternoon, it's literally...
Well, you feel like having uphill straight.
Yeah. It's an uphill struggle. So also in 2016 you released an album Rise, but I remember you telling me years ago you were actually in a girl band.
I was!
Monsoon!
Oh god!
I love this. So this is when you were how old?
Oh god.
Monsoon, what a horrendous name for a band, isn't it?
17 maybe.
And were you signed?
No.
No.
No. We were terrible. We were terrible.
Was it original songs or covers?
It was covers. What did we cover? We covered that Wilson Phillips track.
Hold on.
We covered that. And we were terrible.
Were
you really? Yeah. I was with girls from my college. And I remember doing a really dodgy photo shoot. And we all had corsets on. And I mean, terrible. My dad, when he saw the pictures, he was like, the bloody hell have you been doing?
Did you ever do a music video or anything?
No.
No.
We did that shoot, and in my dad's words, we looked like we'd escaped from a brothel. So...
Monsoon.
Is the terrible.
Best. And apparently you sing in the range of mezzo-soprano.
I do.
What is that?
I do. Well, it's not quite as high as the likes of somebody like Catherine Jenkins.
Right.
But... you're kind of midway, but you're leaned mezzanine level.
Mezzanine level of the soprano.
With a touch of the high, yeah.
Do you love singing, though? Oh, like, we're releasing the album in 2016.
Yeah, I adore it. I really do.
Would you give up acting if you were suddenly offered a... No.
No. People ask me what I prefer, and I think acting has always come slightly in front, but it's why I love musical theatre, because... You know, you've got...
And have you done musical theatre?
Well, that's what I was trained in.
Right.
And I remember signing with my agent at United Agents, Thea Martin. And originally we thought that I would just work in musical theatre.
Be in the West End. Right, yeah.
But then I fell so lucky with film and television. And I fell in love with that I was like, you've got to go while it's there. So doing a musical theatre in the West End, it's something that is on
that's
my to-do list.
That's one of the dreams.
And there's been a few offers and things, but it's... For me, I don't want to do something that a million people have done before because I want to put my own mark on something. So it's got to be the right thing.
You're only going to Chicago, is there?
Babes. I mean, I love Chicago as much as the next
but
person,
I mean,
but you can't do anything else with it.
No.
It is what it is and it's brilliant, but I think I'd like to do something new.
Well, I think otherwise you're always compared to different people and there's only so many ways you can... Yeah, you want to make a splash.
And I can't do the splits like Jennifer Ellison can. I mean, you know, you can't live up to that.
Have you seen, what's your favourite musical? What, you know, what if not saying you go in it because loads of people don't, what's the dream part, you know?
Waitress.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
And do you know what? I love all the parts in that. The three girls together are just amazing. So, I love Waitress. I love Wicked.
And how much theatre have you done? Have you done much theatre?
I've done quite a bit. I actually did one of Jim Cartwright's new plays last year. And Jim Cartwright is probably my favourite contemporary playwright.
He's amazing. And do you remember the buzz? Like, is it a totally different buzz being on stage?
It's completely different. It's completely different because of the adrenaline, the nerves. You know, in television, you can get a little bit nervous sometimes, but I feel like I'm pretty calm. and there's a safety net. You
did
know,
you do the live, Corrie?
I did.
What was that like?
Terrifying experience of my life.
Because I think people got the chance to opt out, didn't they?
They did, but they kind of said, I was on maternity leave and they were like, look, take as long as you need. However...
Oh, you were back in like 2 months or something, weren't you?
Yeah, three months, because if I hadn't done the live, it would have had a bit of a knock-on effect. And also...
Oh, you've got to do that, I think, when it's there.
The chance to do Corrie live.
Yeah.
And I do love live. I love theatre. And it's part of the reason I love singing so much. Doing my concerts and stuff.
How many times, though, that day did you think, oh, my God, there's going to be 11 million people watching?
Oh, I mean, it was constant.
Did anything... Because I was there watching it. I didn't direct it, but I can't think if anything went wrong.
Nothing horrendous.
It didn't really, did it?
I lost a shoe when I was running down the street and a shoe flew off, but nobody noticed, so I just carried on.
Oh, right, okay,
she
great.
She didn't go back for the shoe.
Right.
The camera had moved, so it was fine.
Because did you watch these? I mean, I've spoken to some of the EastEnders cast. Do you remember watching that?
Joe Joyner called Adam. I love Joe, and she was absolutely marvellous.
And then I always remember the biggest one was Barbara Windsor skipping four, but she skipped to the end of the scene, and Rita had to somehow claw it back to page one of that scene. Everyone was going, oh my God, she's gone to the end.
I can't remember what Joe Joyner did to fix it.
It was Laurie, who played Jane,
yeah,
who kind of said something to, because she obviously...
Adam.
She did say something like that.
Oh my God,
it's your worst nightmare, because that's the thing, if you do a live Corrie, you know that if you do mess up, that's probably going to be what you're going to be remembered
for. And it's
for.
Much worse than if you did it on stage. I remember watching
Because you might never work again, I think, if you properly messed up.
Oh, God, completely.
Do you imagine? Because theatre directors would be like, well, you just can't do live.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, it is. It's terrifying, but amazing.
Amazing, yeah. And I think the older cast were the most scared because they'd done Corrie for so long.
Yeah.
That, you know, the idea of live is just, it's not something they've done for so long.
Absolutely.
It's amazing they pulled that off, though. It is amazing they pulled that off.
Yeah, incredible.
So, other TV work you've done. I mean, one of the things I loved is Trolley'd. I remember watching Trolley'd. Yeah. I loved you in Trolley'd.
I loved Trolley'd.
Where did you film that? Was it a real supermarket?
Bristol. It was in a huge warehouse in the middle of Bristol.
And I bet it was freezing. It always looked freezing.
Freezing.
Was it? Yeah,
completely
you can always tell it was freezing.
We were thermalled up to the eyeballs.
You've done Shameless, 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps. Lots of comedy. Is comedy your...
I love it.
Do you?
I
yeah.
love
and
it.
And you are bloody brilliant at it.
Thank you.
When did you realise you were good? Because you must realise you're good.
Well, it's just more of a case of I enjoy making people laugh.
Laugh, yeah.
I love it. If people laugh at my jokes, it brings such joy to me. And I remember when I did Scarborough with Jason Manford, who is the funniest man on earth, we literally spent every day wetting ourselves, laughing. And I came home to Tom and I went, oh my God. I mean, working in comedy is just the happiest thing in the world. And so it's a huge part of my life. I'd love to do more comedy.
And what's it like working alongside other people who do comedy? Do you find you learn stuff still? I mean, I think, you know, everyone probably does it in a very different way, don't they?
And when we were doing Scarborough, you know, Darren was, obviously he created it, he wrote it, he directed it, and he's just brilliant. And he gave us a lot of leeway. He was like, you know what, if you decide to start freestyling, we'll just
amazing.
Go with
That's
it. And we did that a few times, and it was a joy, because I love improvisation, and Jason is obviously hysterical, and, and he was just brilliant. I remember we shot a scene on some waltzes, and we did about 8 takes.
Oh my God.
We just had fish and chips. And at one point, Jason made me laugh that much that I dribbled. But because the waltzes were spinning around, it flew into Jason's face. And I think I literally wet myself. It was just hysterical.
And it's a shame because that's not coming back, is it? At the moment.
It's not.
Because Scarborough itself, I love. It's like the best place to set something.
It is. It's
so weird. It's so set in. It's back in time, Scarborough.
Yeah, we were devastated because the viewing figures were phenomenal. Every single review was fantastic. But you know what it's like. There's no rhyme or reason when you know, networks get rid of something. So it's really sad because we loved it.
And what's it like filming? Because I've never done a big series where you take over a place. What's it like taking over? Like, did you literally take over Scarborough?
The people of Scarborough were just wonderful.
Were they?
We had the best nights out. And, you know, complete strangers. We'd be like, come on, come and have a drink. We were just getting, you know, getting merry with complete strangers. We did karaoke in the local pubs. We made friends. I mean, Darren has got friends for life there. And they
and
were
Darren obviously
so,
did Benidorm, didn't he?
He did Benidorm again, which was just brilliant.
Oh, amazing.
And completely
iconic. I would
have loved
to work on Benidorm.
Oh, I, do you know what? I really hope that he's got something coming soon. Because
it's that kind of telly you need. Do you know what I mean?
Especially
now. Yeah. And I think that probably decision was made before all the lockdown happened. And
oh, they'll be
and
kicking themselves now.
No, they probably will. And talking about the waltzes obviously going round and round, I remember obviously last year you did Strictly, which was huge. I remember you said you were sick, weren't you, the first time? I mean, what was I on? Oh, no, I did a skydive recently. Oh,
ooh!
My God, 13,000 feet.
Why would you do that?
15,000 feet. I bought it for my 40th.
That's so
I was petrified. And he thought I was so competent because I was pretending to be competent that then he let me kind of steer it as we went down. And went, Paul, and we just went like this. And I literally was like, whoop, nearly sick. So we basically were flying around,
oh
spinning
God.
Around. And I instantly thought, oh my God, that's about how Kath felt when she first.
Horrendous.
Just explain when you first went into training then.
Well, the first dance that we were given was the Viennese waltz. I kept calling it the Vietnamese waltz. And the Strictly producer was like, can you not say that?
Yeah, yes.
But
the Vietnamese waltz.
The Vietnamese waltz. Obviously, it involves a lot of spinning. I ended up going to see an ear, nose and throat person that gave me tablets because the amount of times I heaved on Johannes.
Oh, my God.
And Johannes was like, baby girl, that is not nice. I was like, ugh. So, I was
What did
really,
they give you, like motion
No, they were like, I don't know, some hybrid thing. But they were amazing. They worked. He still felt a little bit gippy, but I managed not to vomit, which was a huge feat.
Yeah, and what was the Strictly experience like? I mean, it's kind of, I think, everyone's dream. You know, out of all the out of any show you're going to do as a celebrity,
yes.
I think Strictly's the dream, isn't it?
It was wonderful, mainly because I was put with Johannes, who is incredible. But everybody there is wonderful and it was
that day
such
when the partners are picked, you stood there thinking, oh God.
I was so thrilled because I loved Johannes and we'd already started to get on with each other. And it
and
was
Tom
just
was more thrilled.
Tom was really relieved. I mean, he was more likely to run off with Tom than me, so it's fine. It was a dream come true. And
again,
terrifying.
What was the pressure like of that? Because that's live, obviously. And it's kind of, you're not acting, you're being cast.
I wanted to do it because I genuinely had no dance experience. I couldn't dance. And I love to challenge myself, as I've already mentioned. So that was the reason I did it. But the night we went out, I'd really hurt myself before we went on stage. So we had a physio manipulating my diaphragm and putting a rib back in.
Oh, my God.
And we had people around us going, you should say something, you should say something. The judges should take that into account. And I didn't want to be one of those contestants that was like, give me sympathy. And now I wish I'd said something. Because I couldn't move properly. And they were like, you looked a bit wooden tonight. You look very...
As your ribs just come out
and
again.
I felt like saying, well, of course I did, Shills. My rib was angry.
And
out.
That's kind of so horrible about those shows now. Like you said, you don't want to be that person. But it's all become that there's different, you know, like those rules have appeared, haven't they?
They want the sympathy stories. Yeah. And I wasn't willing to do that because for me...
And people at home are so judgmental now.
Oh,
I mean?
My
it's
God.
Like, you know...
But I wish I'd said something about my rib because I look back and I watch the performance and I'm mortified because in rehearsals, we nailed it. You know, it's pretty similar to the rumba and we got our highest scores for the rumba, but I just, oh, the pain from my rib.
Oh,
was...
I bet. And I can't wait for this year's actually because I can't wait to see what they're going to do. Because I think they're going to go all in a hotel together, which, I mean, is
they
a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I spoke to Jojo last week, but he said that they've genuinely, because he was apprehensive like everybody else, he said they've made it so special, because that's what Strictly do.
Yeah.
They make it special.
And I think, like, Bake Off came back last week, and I just think, actually, in the world we're living in at the moment, that familiarity, I can't say that word. We know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's kind of what you need. It's a kind of nice, warm feeling when a show like that's come back on. Makes everything seem normal.
I wish I'd done Bake Off. I'd have probably won that.
You should do Celebrity Bake Off.
I would kill to do Bake Off. It's mine and Tom's favourite thing. We just love it.
You'd be brilliant on Bake Off, Celebrity Bake Off.
I feel like I got a lot of practice in lockdown. I literally would give
Were
Mary
you baking any. Every day?
Babes.
Were you?
Oh my God. I was baking every day and then it got to the point where I was like, my jeans just don't fit anymore. I became obsessed with bread, making
And I can
bread.
Imagine you doing that final challenge going totally out for it.
Oh!
You'd like totally challenge yourself.
And the rest.
It would be the biggest campest thing ever.
It would literally, it would be It would look like Barbie had thrown up. Yeah, I would love to do it.
And then what's in the pipe? Like, so obviously we've done a thing called Sisters X, which is going to go online, yeah. Which is a drama where you play three sisters.
Yeah.
How was that playing three different people? I mean, you're amazing. Wait till people see it. But
thank you. Honestly, Lee. I mean, I told you at the time, an actress's dream.
It's about everyone. So it's basically about a 90s girl band. Three sisters, all played by Kath, reforming because they have to kind of. And this mad producer who's been sacked from the BBC and is trying to claw her way back into telly. It was so fun to film, wasn't it?
It was just wonderful. And Barbie was amazing. And the chance to play three different sisters. Oh, I just loved it.
And what's nice, the thing about our industry now, is we can do stuff, you know, try to get stuff commissioned ourselves. And, you know, it's kind of opened the doors. I mean, it's still bloody impossible to get anything past the door.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's good, isn't it, I think, the way our industry's going like that.
Absolutely.
You can do stuff yourself. It's been
a real, you know, lockdown had its lows. But, I mean, I did a 10-week creative writing course, as you know.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Produced, you know, a script that's now got quite a lot of interest. And so I think it's given us that chance to do things
to do
that we don't
stuff.
Have time
yeah.
to do.
And do you like writing as well?
Oh, I adore it.
Love writing.
And I've done it on and off for years. I'm working on something with Jonathan Harvey at the moment, actually. And that has been literally in development from my side for about 10 years. So I love it. It's such a joy. Yeah, I'd like to do more.
Well, it's been amazing to talk to you. I'm going to give you a little soap from the box.
Yeah.
And who would you... Final question is, who in Coronation Street would you give that to for a good wash, whether it's dirt or whether it's sins?
Oh.
Character-wise.
Dirt or... Oh, Tracy Barlow.
Yes. Tracy
give her a
Barlow.
Scrub.
All right, well, it's so lovely to talk to you, Kath.
And you. Thank you, darling.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Soap from the Box. Kath is literally one of the funniest people I know, and we have got quite a few projects coming up, so I will keep you up to date on those. I'll be back next week with another amazing soap star guest, and all week on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Soap from the Box, I'll be posting clues as to who that's going to be. See if you can guess. I'd like to thank David Stevens and the Bothy for his edit and technical wizardry. You wouldn't be listening to this without him. I'll see you next week. Have a great one. Bye.